Invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 20 if you'd like to follow along in the Ten Commandments. We'll be reading verse 14. And I will also read the preface with verse 14 as well. So verse 1 through 2 and verse 14. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's law. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall not commit adultery. I wanted to include the preface once again because we need to be reminded that this is the law of God for redeemed people. And here, as we look at the seventh commandment, we see how God has mercifully redeemed us from the breaking of these commandments. And the seventh commandment we talked about last time, Satan is very good at deceiving us with this sin. He is very good at making it look to be the most attractive thing to us. And in the world, there are all sorts of questions about what is immoral, what is forbidden, what is right, what is wrong. We're living in the midst of a revolution where things are being overturned, where things that were once considered obviously wrong, obviously sinful, obviously unnatural, are no longer unnatural, no longer immoral. But we know that the law of God never changes because God never changes. And there may be many questions in the minds of the world as to what is really right and wrong. But we should not be deceived by these questions and by these revolutions. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10, we are warned, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. There's nothing unclear about that, is there, brothers and sisters? It's very obvious what our Lord says here. Be not deceived. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And yet I'm so thankful that in the very next verse we read of what has happened to us in Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. It says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And such were some of you, right? That tense is vitally important for us. There are churches and ostensible Christian leaders who want to change that tense to such are some of you. But that's not what the Word of God says. It says such were some of you. This is describing who we were and then describes who we are in Christ. Sanctified, justified, washed in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm so thankful for that one word, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified. This is who we are, brothers and sisters in Christ. We make our robes white in the blood of the Lamb. One of my favorite verses from Revelation is the passage where it says that they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It's the only blood in the world that can make something white. You put any other blood on something white and it doesn't stay white. It doesn't work as a purifying agent, but Christ's blood does. Christ's blood makes us white. I do want to look at what are the sins forbidden in the seventh commandment this morning using the larger catechism. From question 139, as we think about these sins and we understand how each and every single one of us has been tempted by these things and we have committed some of these sins, we remember that we have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So what are the sins forbidden in the seventh commandment? The sins forbidden in the seventh commandment, beside the neglect of the duties required, are adultery, fornication, rape, incest, sodomy, and all unnatural lusts, all unclean imaginations, thoughts, purposes, and affections, all corrupt or filthy communications, or listening thereunto, wanton looks, impudent or light behavior, immodest apparel, prohibiting of lawful and dispensing with unlawful marriages, allowing, tolerating, keeping of stews and resorting to them, it's referring to prostitutes, entangling vows of single life, undue delay of marriage, having more wives or husbands than one at the same time, unjust divorce or desertion, idleness, gluttony, drunkenness, unchaste company, lascivious songs, books, pictures, dancing, stage plays, and all other provocations to or acts of uncleanness, either in ourselves or others. So just to break it down here, we first of all have these things that are forbidden by the seventh commandment as obvious sexual sins: adultery, rape, incest, homosexuality. And then it goes on and talks about immoral thoughts and behaviors, behaviors that are immoral, thoughts that are immoral, unclean imaginations, looking upon others lustfully. And then it concludes with describing the things that tend towards sexual immorality. Anything that would provoke us unto sexual immorality must be avoided. And then it lists some things: books, lascivious songs, stage plays, unchaste company. And then it sums it all up with saying anything else that tends to sexual immorality. The old Puritans who wrote the Catechism did not live by the phrase, "How close can I get to sin without actually sinning?" That's not what they were thinking, obviously. Their approach was the opposite. How far away can I stay from sin? What is the maximum distance I can make between this sin and me? And our Lord Jesus, when he talked about lust in the Sermon on the Mount, described sort of the same principle when he said, if we have these things that God has given us, like hands and legs and eyes, if we have these things given to us and they are going to cause us to sin, it is far better to get rid of them. Even though they're extremely useful, right? Your right hand, your right eye, very useful parts of your body. God gave them to you to use. But if they're going to cast you into hell, you better get rid of them. It's not worth keeping them around. As he says, it is much better that one of your members should perish than that your whole body should be cast into hell. So as we think about what the Catechism says here, we need to be thinking, how far away can I stay from these things? We don't go right up to the precipice and look over. We stay away from the precipice. And so we think about this in other places in life, as we think about, as it mentioned in the Catechism, dancing, books, stage plays, movies, you could probably substitute here. It's not that all these things are bad things inherently. Dancing isn't a bad thing. Books are not a bad thing. But if they're going to be used as a tool to send you to hell, then they are best avoided. God hates sexual immorality. And he has told us in the scripture that those who commit sexual immorality will not inherit the kingdom of God. But because of Christ, we live in a much different story. According to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, we have been washed, sanctified, justified. And as we confess these things to our God, let us remember that that is who we are. We are no longer who we were. One of the most basic ways that we can equip ourselves to turn away from this sin is the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." So if there's one thing that you can think of to do this week, one thing to avoid sexual immorality, and there's many things, I'm sure, but this is the one I would commend to you. Hide God's word in your heart. Study it. Memorize it. Put it on your walls. Put it on your steering wheel. Put it on your smartphone background. Whatever you have to do, get it in front of you. Hide it in your heart. Make it to be hid in your heart. I invite you all to confess with me these sins that we have broken with the seventh commandment. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have broken your commandments. We know this. We see it as we look at these Catechism questions that just exposit and show us what the Word of God says about these sins. We see little check marks in our name next to these sins. Our minds have been polluted with the immorality of this world. We have lusted in our hearts, and we have strayed from your ways. We ask that you would forgive us, O Lord, and that you would help us to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. And that we would remember that your promise is that sin will not have dominion over us, because we are not under law, but under grace. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that though we have sinned, you have not. And you have given us the way to eternal life. And by your Spirit, you have washed us and cleansed us and sanctified us. Help us, O Lord, to walk as we have been declared to be righteous in Christ. Help us to escape the snares of sexual immorality and anything that would bring us to break your commandments and that would bring us down to hell. We ask that you would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And now we each take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.